There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. All right, so we have Glenn here. You're the founder of PlayStation Nation.
Yes.
There you go.
And
you've been doing it now what? For
In March of next year, it'll be 10 years.
Congrats. You know what? Props to you because
that's
podcast.
Not even nothing compared to when you started.
No, I'm still, dude, I give props to everybody that have been doing this for 7 years and up, 5 years and up. It's not easy, man. You know, after a while, people get like discouraged, like, man, there's nothing really popping. Let me just stop.
Oh, like me every week?
No, but you're doing your thing. You're doing your thing, right?
I'm more proud of the fact that we've never missed a week. I've only missed one show ever. But that, to me, it was always about consistency, and I'm glad that we've been able to keep that up.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's still fun.
So what made you want to start a podcast back in the day?
I was on forums for another podcast. I wasn't really big into podcasts, but really good friends of mine, they used to be called Team Fremont Live, mm-hmm. and they're up in my area, kind of, they're in Minneapolis. And I was on their forums, and this kid that was on the forums messaged me one day, and he's like, it was right before the PS3 came out.
Okay.
And he says, hey, I know you're a PlayStation fan. There's so many Xbox podcasts, like that weird Gamertag Radio thing or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Freaking fanboys.
And he's like, hey, you want to try to do a PlayStation podcast? I'm like, I guess. I never even talked to the kid before. I you know, conversed with him on the forums and all that. But I said, yeah, because to me, I had interned at a radio station. I did improv when I was in high school. And that kind of thing was very normal for me. But I never knew how to edit audio. And that's why I was like, oh, I can learn how to edit audio. And he lasted a little bit less than a year. And then we went to joystick.com, and that's when we blew up. So, yeah, but that's basically how it started. Just kind of a fluke. Yeah. He started with this SOCOM microphone, the USB one from SOCOM 2.
I'm glad you brought up SOCOM. Should it come back? Well, no. Let me preface this.
Oh boy,
we've been talking all day.
Isn't it?
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not at all. It's not at all. Because we've been talking all day. Because we're at Call of Duty XP for those who don't know, and we've been talking all day about how this has kind of been the year of the shooter. If you look at just all the shooters that are coming out, and we started talking about esports.
Well, wait. Don't forget year of the grappling hook as well.
Yeah, I can't forget that too.
Everything has a grappling hook.
But you know, when we're starting looking at esports and kind of how EA.
Yeah,
they're kind of owning their thing. Activision obviously is owning their thing. Microsoft even, they're owning their exclusive titles. But PlayStation doesn't really have an exclusive title. But we were talking about SOCOM. We're like, bring back SOCOM. That could be something they could.
You don't know what you're starting here.
Uh-oh.
You just don't. No, I agree. And I think part of that is the fact that PlayStation partnered with Call of Duty.
Right.
I think that's kind of how that's their in. Because they co-sponsor this whole event. They co-sponsor the league. And I think it's a different mindset, I think. Should SOCOM come back? In my opinion, yes. It was a very unique type of title. Third-person tactical shooter. You don't see that anywhere. I mean, H-Hour is out there. It kind of fell apart. I actually went down to the studio in North Carolina when it was in its early stages and sat with those guys for a couple days, and I was really excited for it. The state it's in right now is not good, and it's a real shame. There's a couple of other projects out there that they're trying to do something as well, but it's all grassroots, and I just don't think that it's going to happen. When, oh man, Have you? You haven't seen all of the vitriol on Twitter, have you? I mean, I mentioned SOCOM on Twitter, and it's a 5-day thing. Like,
why is that?
It's a very vocal minority.
Yeah,
it's this movement. You know, the SOCOM remastered movement. And I get it. I get that you're passionate about games, and I'm all for it. And the thing is, I've been doing everything I can to talk to the right people because I know who the right people are. And I've had some very heated discussions with those people once on the floor of PSX in front of a fan, because I do think it needs to happen. You know, SOCOM 4 was just a comedy of errors. You know, it comes out and the PSN gets hacked and it goes down for two, three months or whatever it was. And it, you know, they try to make a Call of Duty and I think they kind of ruined it. And part of that was because Sony got their foot in the door instead of just letting the studio do what they did best. And right. That is make a good SOCOM game. You know, there's a couple of differing opinions about how it should be approached. And, you know, you hear from the powers that be that, hey, this isn't some cheap endeavor. It's a lot of money to develop a game like that because you have to bring in military experts. They really do care about that kind of stuff, the authenticity. My suggestion was remaster SOCOM 2, like they're doing the PS2 to PS4 games now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people that was in this discussion is the guy that's in charge of that project. And I said, remaster it, put servers up, and let people vote with their wallet, because it's going to be the cheaper solution out of all this. You know, you don't know how vocal this, or how much of a minority this vocal minority is. And, you know, it's a cheaper way to do it, and they would eat it up. They would totally eat it up if you just remastered the PS2 one and brought it out. That also buys you time to develop a correct PS4 game. You know, and they said, oh, that's not cheap either. But it's the cheaper alternative. And you know people like it. SOCOM 2 is the favorite among a lot of the SOCOM community. It can't be that hard. And I hate to sound like a neo-gaffer there.
But right.
It can't be that hard to get this done. I mean, they've been remastering PS2 games like crazy lately. I think just from the discussions I've had with people, and nobody's ever said this, this is just me reading somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're very fearful to do a new game because that community is so all about the details. And if you get the belt buckle wrong, stuff like that. I mean, when I visited the HR studio, David Troy Sears was one of the guys that worked on the original games, and he was the creative director for HR. And they were showing me the emails they were getting, and you'd see it on the forums, the feedback, and somebody literally said, that belt buckle will not be like that. Like, really? You know, and I'll be honest, if I was a developer, you know, one of Sony's studios, and they said, we're going to do a No-So-Com, I would freak out, because it's a passionate community. And passion is great, but it can also be a detriment. And I think I've even gotten to the point now where I'm not even talking about SOCOM on Twitter anymore. I won't do it because any little thing and it's just bam. And they're all going after Shu, you know, because Shu is so present on Twitter and he's not even the right person to talk to. And then somebody's like, well, who is the right person? I'm like, yeah, like I'm going to tell you and then you can start tweeting them incessantly. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm not bashing passion. Passion's what gamers are all about, but it can get ridiculous. And it has gotten really ridiculous with a good number of these SOCOM fans that are trying to revive it. But there's a fine line. You know, it's you want to make sure that people know that people still want it, but you can do it too much and they're going to say, forget it, we're done. Mm. So, but I do think that my 10-minute answer is...
That's good. It's great.
My 10-minute answer is, yes, I would love to see a new SOCOM. Yeah. I don't want a clone. I want a real SOCOM. You know, you're not going to get the original team back because they've just been spread throughout the wind now, but it was a really solid series. And even SOCOM 4 had some merit. The whole campaign thing that was in it was a little weird, but I would love, absolutely love, a new SOCOM on PS4.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, I think it would be outstanding.
Now, one of the things that we were also having a conversation during Call of Duty XP, the whole esports is getting, you know, popular. I mean, it's really, really popular now and everything. We were thinking, man, I think, well, especially Paris mentioned this, I think it's cool that maybe Sony could maybe come up with a PlayStation controller, like an Elite controller, more for like the competitive side of.
I think you're going to see that.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go.
I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. I mentioned that one time at E3 to somebody and I kind of got an eyebrow raise. So I don't know if that was, I don't know what it was, but for some reason I have a feeling that we might even see it next week. But nobody's told me anything. This is me guessing on this one. There's other stuff I know, but this I'm guessing because of just signals I've seen.
Well, yeah, the only reason we're talking about it today is like as we're watching like Optic or whoever it was up there playing and they're holding up the...
Yeah.
I never say it right. What's the name of the...
Those. And I actually have a controller that I brought with me. I don't know if you guys saw it. From the controller shop, they're called. They do Xbox One and they do DualShock 4. And they do all custom controllers. And it's fantastic. It's an amazing controller. It's a DualShock 4, but they repainted it. They put new grip on the back. They put buttons on the back of the grip so that I can do L1 and L2 with my right hand. It's fantastic.
But that's what you're saying. That's the point. Why let these third parties get the shine when, again, they're now, you know, the brand for Call of Duty.
Right.
When Optic stands on stage because they won, they're holding up their controller. Why not have it be a DualShock 4 Elite versus anything else, you know?
Well, I think, again, sometimes that... It's kind of funny that you bring that up because I don't know if you've noticed, but there are barely any third-party controllers for the PlayStation 4.
Right, right.
There aren't any wireless ones that I can think of. It's all wired stuff.
Yeah.
It's really odd, and it's Sony's trying to control what comes out with DualShock functionality. It's really odd how they're, because the touchpad and all that stuff. Yeah. And that's why I do think that it's going to come. I think that they're probably getting pressure from the esports universe. And I do actually think something's going to happen because they have that the redone DualShock 4 that's come with the Slim with a really cool addition, above the touchpad.
Right, that light bar.
The light bar thing because developers, you would go to E3 and they'd be like, oh yeah, and then the light bar does this. I'm like, yeah, but the light bar is pointing that way. I don't see that.
Yeah.
So I love that little change. And so they're obviously thinking about it. I don't know. If I put money on it, I actually wouldn't. I'd say we won't see it this next week, but for some reason, I think we're going
to
see it.
Well, you know, putting next week to the side, because that's obviously a whole other conversation. But, you know, obviously you're deep into PlayStation and you...
I have them all. I do play on my Xbox One every now and then.
So what are your thoughts with this? Because this is one thing that we get a lot of feedback on when it comes to PlayStation and people, you know, we're defending what Microsoft's doing or whatever. And they say that Sony talks a lot about games.
Yeah.
But they don't deliver on said games because E3, we saw God of War. We saw Detroit. We saw the zombie game. I can't think of the name of. All these things look impressive.
Yeah.
Right. When the hell are they coming out? And that's been the kind of common theme that the feedback we've been getting in the last year or so is Sony shows you a lot of great things, but they don't actually come out anytime soon.
Well, I think that I've always looked at that as a positive because they make sure that the game doesn't get shoved out the door.
And that's what I say too. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, Uncharted 4 was delayed. Uncharted 4 was amazing. I love it. It's amazing.
No, it is, but it isn't. And this is probably my own fault. Now I know we're tangenting on this conversation.
I don't know if you know this, but we call our podcast the Tangent Cast. Yeah. So it's going to happen.
Here's the thing with Uncharted 4. And this is just my own personal thing. Obviously, it's got all the accolades. You know, people love the game.
Sure.
I was loving it, too. And then I got to a point where I got bored with it and I stopped playing it.
Was it because there was a little more openness to it?
I felt like it was a pretend openness. You're showing me open, but I'm still going down this linear path to get to the objective.
Yes,
I kind of started repeating the same thing.
It was
over
more
and
contained.
Over. Yeah, there you go. That's a good word for it.
But it still was. I mean, yeah, you're going from point A to point B like you were before, but how you get from A to B can vary. And I kind of like that. I didn't want an open world game. Actually, when they started talking about openness, I'm like, if it's open world, I don't think I'm going to like it.
Right.
I mean, I like open world games. I love GTA 5, but I think, you know, and somebody's probably going to start yelling and saying, well, what about No Man's Sky? Well, Sony published it and they had a producer on it. But, you know, I'm sure I'm sure Hello Games got pressure to release it. I'm sure of it. I really like the game. I haven't really had any of those bugs, and I'm not justifying whatever, because the PC version is trash right now. But you see that time and time again for the first party stuff. 9 times out of 10, those games are outstanding. You know, I really like Killzone Shadowfall. I know a lot of people didn't really like it as much, but I really enjoyed that game. And that's the thing. The games take longer. I think what they need to do is stop showing stuff so early. But at the same time, they have a schedule. And Nintendo does, Microsoft does as well. They have a schedule that they say, okay, this game's getting released. Now we got to start showing the new one. The problem is with these new consoles, the life cycle's taking longer. And the funny thing was, as a tangent, at E3, it was funny because everybody knows Neo is coming, the Neo hardware for PS4. But, you know, they really wouldn't talk about it at E3. A couple of them did talk about it. But when we were in the God of War appointment, he made it a point like 4 times to say, this is running on current hardware. This is running on current hardware.
And you told us that. You told us that earlier. And I still don't believe it. I just don't believe it. It was like what I saw. I go, if that's running in this sense.
Yeah.
If they can do that on a current PlayStation 4.
Yep.
Why the hell are we doing Neo right now?
To answer Microsoft. That's why they. And I hate it. I told you guys that. I hate that they're doing a Neo. Or that they're doing new hardware. I don't like the cell phone model of doing new hardware this quick. I've bitched about it on our podcast. I get why they're doing it. I just don't like it. At the same time, because I'm going to have to review it, and because I'm going to have to do game reviews, I still have to buy a Neo because I'm in that unique situation. I think is it going to be cool? Yeah, it's going to be really cool. Every game is targeted for 60 frames per second, full 1080p. It's going to have 4K output. You know, the whole nine. Yeah, it's going to be cool. Do I care about 4K right now? No, I don't have a 4K TV. Am I going to in 3 years? Maybe. I have an awesome plasma. I have a 3D plasma that I use constantly for movies and games. I love it. I don't need to replace it. You know, I don't want to be forced into getting a new TV just because they want me to use 4K now.
Well, that's kind of the thing that we've been saying on the show when, you know, people email us, should I get Scorpio? Should I get Neo? All that. I go, my thing is this. If you don't have a 4K TV, and you have no desire to get one anytime soon, it still plays the same games with your current platform.
Yes and no.
Okay, yeah, elaborate on that.
Well, Neo hardware, so Xbox One S, I don't know if you saw this, but Xbox One S, it's really just using a scaler to go to 4K for everything, but they did see performance increases on a couple of games, on first-party games. So Gears of War 4,
would have
Forza Horizon 3, yeah. There was about a 5 to 10% increase, which they didn't tell anybody was going to happen. So they kind of, you know, stealth bombered that in on everybody. Neo, what you're going to get, even if you're just playing on your 1080p set, you're still going to get better textures. You're going to get better frame rate. You're going to get a more solid frame rate. You're probably going to get more effects. But no game, and it's funny, the message that a lot of developer friends I have get the most is basically people saying that, you know, what about the games that are made just for Neo? Sony will not allow that. Every game that, and Microsoft has actually gone a different direction. They've already said, Phil Spencer off the cuff said, yeah, we might have some games in the future that only run on Scorpio. And then like PR about a half an hour later came out and said, no.
I think he was saying maybe,
no,
maybe VR, you think? No,
no,
because I know. No, okay.
No, well, I mean, he meant what he meant. Yeah, but PR doesn't want to let that loose yet because they don't want people to think that they're being forced into a new system.
Because they've always been promoting, doesn't matter if you have the older console or not, you're still going to play these games.
Yeah, and that's why they started backpedaling right away. Sony, though, it's right in the developers' agreement. You cannot make code that only runs on Neo. It has to run on the original PlayStation 4.
Well, yeah, we've talked about this on the show. I feel like Scorpio is the next Xbox. Look, they know what they did. They know the mistakes they made in 2013.
Yeah.
That was a half measure. This is their full measure to try and fix those problems. Whereas I view Neo
as
a half measure. It's not,
I agree.
It's not a, a, a it's, it's, you're trying to fix something that isn't broken with the PlayStation 4. So the Neo to me is a half measure to that, to say, hey, we can do 4K or whatever. Yeah. Whereas Scorpio, they're like, look, we screwed up in 2013. Yeah. We need to fix it. The Xbox One, yeah, it'll play Xbox One games. Your Xbox One could potentially play Scorpio games, but if you want the full shebangabang, you better go get a Scorpio.
It's going to be interesting messaging next week, especially because, you know.
Well, actually, this week I'm releasing this on Monday, but yeah.
Well, come on, it's Saturday. Or wait, what is today? Friday.
I'm releasing this on Monday, so
okay.
We can say
so
this
the week this is released.
Yeah,
it's going to be an interesting. You know, Microsoft got a lot of flack for what they did at E3, and I'm one of the people. I think that it's very confusing, and the reason I say that is because people were confused that were emailing me like, wait a second, so they're doing an Xbox Slim. And then there's another Xbox, and they.
But hold on.
I had a lot of people email me, like friends on Facebook and everything else, that were really confused by that.
But isn't it the same with PlayStation 4? Well, they haven't announced anything yet, but.
But that's what I mean, though. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Sony handles this on Wednesday, because they're going to reveal the Slim that everybody knows about already, because they're just selling them on the street corners in Europe, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to go into Neo, and they're going to try to explain that. And then they're going to talk about VR. And we even have writers on our staff that are still saying, well, so I have to get a Neo to play VR? No.
No, you don't.
But
you don't.
They're not getting that messaging across yet.
See, here's the thing. You could play VR, the older system and the new system.
Right.
With the Xbox version, is only on Scorpio.
Yeah.
You can't play VR in the oldest consoles at all. Right. So but my thing is, Neo is going to also make the PlayStation VR experience much better than
it will and it won't, because you can't do 4K on VR. That VR headset only goes so high. It's going to be more about effects and frame rate, et cetera. Right. And I like that they're kind of targeting that and not just saying, oh, 4K. This is my question to you, though, when you talk about VR, or both of you, Scorpio for VR. What if by the time Scorpio comes out at what, the end of 2017, we think? What if VR is not a big thing anymore? What if it's not the new hot that we've...
And I think that's a real possibility, because we got a message, I think last week or so, saying like Sony has shown in the past of abandoning things. What do you think they'll do? And I go, well, if you look at their track record, if VR isn't the new hotness a year and a half from now, they're moving on.
Yeah, you know? But it's not to Sony. I mean, Oculus, Vive... Samsung Gear VR. I mean, there's all these VR. Look at E3 this last year. Man, there were VR headsets everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way it's gonna sustain like this. And only the strong are gonna survive. I do think that PSVR has the best chance, though.
But here's the difference. PlayStation VR, that's their product. That's Sony's product, everything.
Right.
Microsoft doesn't have no VR that they're pushing. But hold on.
See?
My conversation. See?
I should have brought my recorder up. I should have brought my recorder up so we had three microphones.
No, but the thing is, Microsoft, I think they're going to have like a partnership maybe with like Oculus.
They are going to have they're definitely going to have a thing with
that's
Oculus.
That's what I think. So let's say VR fails. They have nothing to lose. PlayStation, though, they're losing money if it fails.
So what?
No, but I'm saying it's not going to hurt much on Xbox. Like they're not really pushing VR like Sony is.
Well, right, but the problem is, what if they start marketing it 6 months ahead of release, VR, 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 and all of a sudden it rolls around and nobody gives a crap about VR anymore? What's the messaging then? What am I supposed to do with this machine that's supposed to be for VR? What? It plays other games? Why didn't you tell me that? You know?
Now, I want to go back to something you said earlier, because maybe I'm confused by, or maybe you know something inside that
I'm probably
know.
Confused. Don't worry about it.
But you were saying like with Neo, you were looking at it because they're doing it as a response to Microsoft.
Yeah.
But at the same time.
Although when you say that to anybody at Sony, they're like, no, we already had this plan.
And that's my thing. Because again, when all these rumors start coming out about Neo, that was before Scorpio, we'd heard anything. Then we heard the rumors about Scorpio. And then obviously at E3, Microsoft did their move of, hey, Xbox One S, but oh, by the way, wait a year and you can get Scorpio. So it's like, it's kind of a chicken and egg kind of thing.
You have to understand that a lot of people in this industry talk
Well, of course. Yeah, of course. We get that.
I'll never forget. I was in New York City for the PS4 when they first revealed the PS4, when they actually said the name PS4. I went back to the hotel and there were a lot of media people there and I was talking to a bunch of them waiting for my room to get ready. And every one of them is telling me like Microsoft is scrambling. They don't know what to do. And they knew the whole story already. Like Microsoft apparently at the time didn't even have the hardware spec done or they had it done and they saw what the PS4 was going to be able to do and they were just peeing their pants. And then look at that first reveal. That first reveal was just an absolute disaster. And then they did the other one and everybody was still like, wait a second, this isn't as good as the PS4 already. You know, in terms of the hardware spec, people talk. And I guarantee you, somebody at Sony knew that Microsoft was doing this.
It's a small industry. It goes around the conversation.
Very small. Very now, nepotistic industry, yeah.
My question to you is price. Price is super important because speaking about the whole reveal and everything.
Yeah.
That was a big, big thing for Sony.
Oh, that was the reveal at E3.
Oh, the E3, yeah.
Yeah, when they came out and
when they announced $399,
yeah,
that was like a big, huge move. Now, I know they don't want to have the price too high when they announce the new Neo.
Yeah.
Because if they do, it's going to look bad, you know? So
my guess is Slim's going to be $299, Neo's going to be $399. That's my guess. Or it could even be Slim 249, something like that.
Yeah, but, I think, yeah, 249, I see that.
I think Neo is going to be the same price that the PS4 was at launch.
What if I could see $399, and then next year when Microsoft announces their price, or then probably we'll put it $349 to compete with Scorpio for sure.
Well,
yeah,
depending on what they do. Because, I mean, I know for a fact everybody at Sony was sitting around TVs watching Microsoft's press event when they announced $499 for the Xbox One.
They were high five in the back behind the scenes for sure.
And
now, yeah, go for it.
Well, but that's the thing. Sony has been really smart about with this generation with not jumping the gun. You know, it's been impressive because look at that press conference was one of the most amazing press conferences I've ever seen at any E3.
I agree.
It was insane. I've never felt that much energy in a room in my life. Yeah. You could feel it. It was like a tidal wave from behind us because you know we were in the front row.
Come on, I left the press conference like disappointed. Like, man, what the hell is going on with Microsoft and everything? Man?
And I was at that Microsoft press conference.
Man, yeah, that was torture, man. I don't even remember that, but
I fell asleep.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Now here's another question, though, that I do have. If you want to say anything to Paris. I think Neo will come out maybe September, October.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be October.
They'll probably do like a whole Apple thing. You could pre-order it tomorrow.
Yep.
Get in 7 days or whatever. What do you think?
I'm very confident it's going to be out this year. I would, if I was at a casino and I had to bet on it, I would put money on the fact that it's coming out this year. And that's why I bring up the messaging that they're going to have to do on Wednesday because VR comes out October 13th. If they try to bring it out the same day, people are going to think that you need a Neo to run VR. It's going to happen. I worked in retail when I was in college. It's going to happen. but I firmly believe it'll be out in October. I don't know about October, but I think it'll be October. My gut feeling is October. And there's things that there's facts that back this theory up. Software submissions for Neo Code started 2 weeks ago. So developers are already going in for cert on Neo Code. And the Slim timing and everything else, because I think that's why we're going to see a lower price on the Slim right away. We're dropping the price of the regular PS4 to this, and here's this new model. It makes sense in terms of marketing and everything else. So, yeah.
No, it really does. I mean, if you look at it, and I know, you know, the jokes have been Morpheus, Neo, and where's Trinity? I think the Trinity is this quote-unquote Slim that's coming out. Because my thing has been, and we've obviously seen it now on unboxes and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're making this thing as cheap as possible so that they can say this holiday, we have the cheapest gaming console on the market.
So I know somebody that got 3 hours with the Slim over in Europe, that first one that popped up.
Yeah.
Raving about it in terms of the hardware design. Much lower power consumption, much quieter, which is kind of funny because the S is actually louder than the original Xbox. Much quieter than the regular PS4. Just in general, how it's laid out, but they were raving about the words that I heard from somebody else were, this is how a next-gen console should be. Just in terms of, I still laugh at those two USB ports on the front and how far away they are from
each other. Yeah, that seems so odd.
But I'm wondering if that's a PSVR thing. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's really weird. The thing I don't like about the Slim is that there's no optical
port. Oh, okay. I was going to say the same thing.
Because I'm a headphone guy.
Exactly.
I review all of our headphones.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, those new Astro Gaming A50s that are coming out, like, soon, are amazing.
Yeah.
They thought of everything. Guess what? You can't use those with the Slim.
Exactly. Which makes no sense. What? Which, if Neo doesn't have it, that's...
Oh, it will, because that's the high-end hardware.
Exactly, which I'm sure it will. But if I'm just saying, for argument's sake, if it didn't, it's going to ruffle a lot of feathers. F?
I mean, yeah, USB headphones are nice, and wireless headphones are nice, but the USB ones, they're stereo. You know, a lot of them are just stereo. I want full optical 5.1 decoder, you know, uncompressed. I want all that. And, you know, I've got the SteelSeries H Wireless, and they're amazing. The Astro Gaming A50s are outstanding. You know, there's some really good high-end headphones that you're going to piss a lot of people off. I mean, there are people that spent as much money on their headphones as the console cost. And all of a sudden, I can't go get a Slim because I can't use my headphones anymore. And the funny thing is, in the box for the Slim, there's actually a card in there saying there's no optical port. Like, they're acknowledging it right away.
Right.
Well, dudes, was it because the motherboard layout? Like, there was no room? Come on. Do something.
But isn't that bad, too, with the business that they have with, like, different headset companies, like Astros and everything like that?
Well, Astro's always been on the Xbox side. I mean, Astro actually designed the original Xbox 360.
Of course, yeah, but they also have stuff for PlayStation 4, too.
They do because it's a big market.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. But Sony's calling the shots right now because the PS4 is such a juggernaut. Yeah. And I don't think it's an ego thing at all. I don't really think it's a partnership. It's just they're making product for PS4 because it sells. Mm. All of a sudden now, your high-end headphones ain't going to work. What the
shit? Yeah, that doesn't make no sense. But okay.
I mean, you can get an adapter if you want, like, daisy chain a bunch of stuff, like run HDMI into your TV and then have an adapter off of your TV from the left and right audio to an optical so you can get stereo. Mm-hmm. Oh, gee, thanks. It's unfathomable that they did that. I just don't understand the unless, like I said, they couldn't fit it for some reason. Mm-hmm. That's the only excuse I'll take.
I think they did that to make the console cheaper.
Maybe, but you know, an optical port. You're gonna make
no, I agree. It makes no sense because it's not like you're saving that much money.
Right, right.
You I know, mean, by not you including
millions of consoles
port.
And amortize it over, blah, blah, blah. But I'm hearing really good things about the hardware design on the Slim.
Well, I know. Well, what's his face from Digital Foundry got to go see it. So
yeah.
I'm sure he'll have it torn down the second.
Did you get to watch the video before they were forced to take it down?
From him? I didn't see his. Yeah,
they put a video up. They went to the guy's house and they did a video of it. They showed it booting up and everything. And about 20 minutes later, it was gone.
Mm.
So I think Sony PR like went after him and said, you have to take this down. We're never going to send you anything again.
Right.
Which is funny. I just love the fact that Sony won't even acknowledge this thing because they're going to reveal it on Wednesday. But it at some point, just tell us.
Yeah, you might as well at this point just own it and make it a big joke on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Hey, you might have seen this before. Ha ha ha.
I mean, it's just like the PSP Slim thing the PSP Slim wasn't, or not the Slim, the little one.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm forgetting stuff. When somebody on the PSN team hit the wrong button and put the video up like days ahead of time from Core where they showed it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never forget that one. That was right before E3. And they did that on stage. They're like, well, you might have heard about this. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Andrew House just needs to put up a quick video and say, yes, it's real, you know.
Yeah, and just be done with it. Just like they acknowledged Neo before E3.
Guess what? You know? They're going to show so much more stuff off. We're going to see a bunch of games running at 60 frames per second. We're going to see a bunch more VR stuff that's almost finished or probably finished by now. We're going to see a new console that's going to blow everybody away in terms of the power it has. And yeah, we're going to see the Slim that we've seen some stuff on the internet around. I mean, there's so much that they can talk about.
Yeah.
Yes. Just, we know what's coming on Wednesday. Everybody knows at least a good portion of it. Just own it.
Yeah. But going back before we tangented off to where we are now, what I was originally talking about, and I'll make it in simpler terms, do you think Sony's lack of first-party titles these last couple years hurts their brand, or is it just because, I mean, when you look at it, they're living off a third party. I mean, at some point, do we need to start seeing more exclusive titles from them?
Are they hurting the console that's been outselling the Xbox, 2-1?
No.
You know what I mean?
And I know it's a very rhetorical question.
I'm saying no. I don't think it's hurting it. No, I mean, they have their franchises. They're taking their time to make sure they're right. That's how I look at it. Is it frustrating? Sure. I think that Uncharted 4 hitting when it did was great. I love it. I wish I had time to play it more online because the online's really good. New God of War looks awesome.
Yeah.
It looks scary because it's so big now, but it looks awesome. But they're taking a risk with that game. No more fixed camera. Way different combat system. They're taking a really big risk. But I like that Sony's letting them do it.
No, agreed. And as we can see, they let their studios take their time.
Yeah, and Horizon.
Now that I'm glad you brought that up because I'm anticipating it, but I'm not sure why I am. Why should I be excited about that game?
For me, it's Guerrilla's always been one of my favorite studios. I think they're on a personal level. I think they're just awesome people. But I'm a big Killzone fan. And it's exciting to see them do something different. The funny thing is, I mean, this is an action RPG, essentially. I don't like RPGs that much, but I'm excited to play it. I think what's going to set this one apart is going to be a really compelling story that I'm really curious about. And they're doing it right. They're just giving us little hints here and there that you know there's something else going on in that universe. And I want to see how it unfolds. So from a personal level, that's why I think on the bigger scale, it's because it's a developer that people know make really good games. And these are the same guys that when that rendered video of Killzone 2 came out and everybody said, there's no way that'll ever happen. And then the game kind of looked better than that rendered video in a lot of ways. It's this studio, man. And the fact that they have such talented people makes it exciting because they're taking their time. They delayed it, probably for a good reason. And it looks fantastic. I'm still on the fence if I'm going to like it because of the style of the game, but I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to try it. Even Days Gone from Ben Studio.
Name, yeah. that was good.
I've known the creative director for a while, mm-hmm. and you know he did our demo at E3, and I walked right up to him, and he's like, well, what do you think? I'm like, it looks really impressive, dude. I hate zombie games. And I said, I know they're not zombies. I get it. But I said, the whole concept of zombie games, I just don't like. And I said, I'll give it a chance because it looks really compelling. And I said, I know there's more there than what you guys showed. But, and he's like, I get it. You know, and not every game is for everybody, but I'm still interested because there's a whole economy that's going on there. You're a bounty hunter. What's your bounty? You know, is money still a thing? And I want to know about that stuff. So I that's one thing that's always attracted me to PlayStation, though, too, is they do games that take risks. Eco, Shadow of the Colossus, Last Guardian finally coming, that they're never going to make money on.
And the legendary Agent.
You know what's funny?
What's up?
I know people that know people at Rockstar, and they say that game is still in the works.
Still?
No. Nope.
Now, you know what would be crazy? They announced it September 7th.
Well,
2016.
Think of and we've talked about this because number one, there was a rumor that not really a rumor. E3 week, we knew for a fact there were people from Rockstar at E3. Rockstar doesn't do E3. We knew people were there. I'm like, oh crap, we're going to see them on Sony stage.
And let me guess.
I think that we were supposed to see them on Sony stage, and something happened the last minute that it didn't happen. Rockstar has a New York City office. It's one of their biggest offices in the U.S. I think it's the biggest, actually. And this thing on the 7th is happening in New York City.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Well, they do New York City all the time. But
what was my prediction? Red Dead.
Red Dead 2? Red Dead 2 is definitely in the works.
Yeah, I think so. You never know, man.
Yeah.
You don't think so? Hey, it makes sense, though, but I didn't mention that. No, Rockstar's in New York City, too.
That was one of my predictions for E3, was that we were going to see Red Dead 2. And I'm pretty sure we were supposed to, and something happened.
You know, save it for the big one.
Yeah.
The reveal of Neo. Why not?
Well, and yeah.
Well, now, let's talk about this.
God, wouldn't a Red Dead 2 be amazing?
Paris mentioned this a couple of times, and we put it together. It makes sense. You know, Neo is on the 7th. They're going to reveal it. Destiny, new expansion pack is what, a week, 2 weeks after that? The 20th?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of third parties are probably going to show their game running on Neo.
Yes, we're going to see a lot of Neo demos. We're definitely going to see a lot of demos. And it's going to be interesting, though, because, you know, it's live streamed, but how many people can really watch a live stream at 60 frames, et cetera, et cetera. So beyond the people that are sitting there in the PlayStation Theater in New York City, you know, how do you get the word out? And I'm pretty sure they'll have commercials and things, but even then, I'm just really curious as to how they're going to communicate this to people. I think it's confusing. I mean, look at the Wii U when they announced it. We were actually at that Nintendo press conference, the only one I've ever been to in my life.
What a great introduction to go check
out. And we had this Nintendo fanboy behind us that loved everything he saw, and they did that Wii U video, and everybody in that crowd was like, is this an upgrade for the Wii? Because they only showed the console for about a split second, and it looked really close to what the Wii looked like. And we all walked out of there like everybody was talking. Is this an up? And because they didn't tell us anything. And that's the example I always use for announcements like this, like how poorly Nintendo handled that. And we had to wait until we were at E3 on the show floor and we walked up like, oh, it is a new console. Sony's got to be really careful about this. And Microsoft needs to be careful about how they start telling people about Scorpio in the future. You know, it's a slippery slope because there's hardcore gamers like us that do podcasts, et cetera, that come to Call of Duty XP. There's a lot of other people that aren't as hardcore.
And they'll get really confused. And that's the thing, too. Yeah. The only reason why that happened with the whole Wii U is the name. Very confusing. Now, what Sony and Microsoft, what name are they going to have for the new consoles? You know,
PS4K.
PS4K? I don't know.
That's what I think it's going to be. It makes sense.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's my best guess, but nobody said anything. But
I don't know. It sounds weird. I don't know. They could just name it something pretty cool instead of PlayStation 4K.
Well, they can't call it Neo.
No, they can't. That's a cool,
you know,
name.
But I think it's going to be PS4K.
Right. Anything else, Paris? I think I'm done over here. You good? One more?
No. I mean, I think that's it. But it's good to get the perception from someone that's, you know, predominantly on the PlayStation side of the house. I mean, we try and talk about everything, but you obviously have more insight than we would on PlayStation. You know, it's just a thing of, and like we were having a discussion last week because we got an email talking about like Rocket League and the crossplay on Xbox and PC and why won't PlayStation do it. And my thought is they're the leaders. They're dictating. They don't want you. If you want to play something multiplayer like Rocket League.
Yeah.
With your PlayStation buddies, they want you to do it on a PlayStation.
Sure.
They don't want you doing it on a PC or an Xbox.
Yeah, I do honestly think that they're going to allow it at some point. I think it's just more of a public relations issue now, because now everybody's pointing the finger like, well, we're going to do it. Why isn't Sony doing
right,
it?
Right, right.
I think it'll happen because they've been open to other stuff. I mean, they were open to cross-play with PC for the Team Fortress and everything. Or not, COD, not COD, Global Offensive, CSGO.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You can play with PC players on there. I think it'll happen. I mean, PSN is kind of, but well, so here's the other thing. PSN's been going through an upgrade last year, and I think they might be waiting until that upgrade's done, which it's close. Because honestly, I think when they, here's my wild prediction. They're going to start talking about firmware 4.0 on Wednesday as well. I think they're finally going to say, by the way, you can change your PSN name.
And that'll be big, and
everyone's going to flip out, and then they'll find something else to bitch about 2 days later.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, one last thing for me.
Where the hell's my SOCOM?
So, Adam Boyles, is that a big loss for them? Like, especially on the indie side?
Yeah, Adam Boyles is a big loss. He was really good at what he did, and they lost Nick. Nick left too, and you know, that team is amazing. Shane Bettenhausen and those guys. They've filled a couple gaps already. I don't know who they're going to fill Adam Boyles' gap with. He was very good at what he did. He had a lot of contacts. I'm not surprised by it because, I mean, he and Dave Lang have been best friends for years. They worked together at Midway. It sucks. I really like Adam. I talk to him all the time at E3 and events we see, and I still will, obviously. But it's a big loss. It really is. Yeah, it's scary. I mean, luckily they still got Gio Corsi, who's amazing at what he does. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who takes that position over.
Well, Glenn, just want to say thanks, man, for being on the show. And, you know, we talked a lot on Facebook, and this is the first time we finally meet, man.
Yeah,
still
yeah.
Hang out. So thanks, man.
It only took 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years, right? 10 years. And hopefully we'll see you again in the future. And yeah, anything you would like to promote before we wrap it up?
We're PlayStation Nation or PS Nation on iTunes, et cetera, all the other locations you can usually find everything. And we have our 500th episode coming up. We're going to be doing that the week after Extra Life. So it'll be roughly like November 12th-ish.
Cool.
And we're going to try to do it live. And
we're about to hit 600 in a few weeks. That was awesome.
So we're going to try to do that. We're going to try to get try to get Shu on the show again or something like that.
Cool.
So,
oh, congrats, man. Yeah. I hope it works out. I hope it works out, man.
Me too. Because there's always some stupid technical issue that comes up that screws all of our plans up.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. But thanks and keep it going with the podcast, man.
Thanks for having me. It's really cool that you brought this whole studio here to the hotel.
Oh, yeah. Look, we got
beds. You guys are doing well. You got roadies and I'm pretty impressed. Like,
well, thank you.
I hope when I hit 600, I can just take a mobile studio wherever I want, have like a whole crew here.
Hell yeah.
I will say the craft service table, a little skimpy, but putting me up in this hotel just to record a podcast with you was pretty nice. I really thank you. And
awesome. Awesome. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.